When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'll be your host today, Zach Clinton. And during today's conversation, we're going to be hearing a powerful testimony, one of grace, forgiveness, and freedom. Joining us today is Nick Stumbo. Nick is the executive director of Pure Desire Ministries, an organization dedicated to providing hope and recovery from sexual brokenness. A third-generation pastor, he began his ministry at East Hills Alliance Church in Kelso, Washington, serving as lead pastor for over a decade. During this time, he confronted his own addiction to pornography. And through Pure Desire's counseling and group ministries, he and his wife Michelle found healing. This personal transformation led him to establish Pure Desire groups within his church, fostering a culture of grace and recovery. Nick is an author, having written Setting Us Free and Safe, Creating a Culture of Grace in a Climate of Shame. He and Michelle reside in Oregon with their four children. Nick, my friend, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, Zach. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Nick, really looking forward to our conversation and just getting the opportunity to know you a little bit better, to hear more about your story and your testimony personally, as well as dive into, yes, a sensitive topic, but one that I believe is one of the biggest challenges facing the Big C Church today. But before we get there, for some of our audience members who maybe don't know a lot about Pure Desire Ministries, share with us some of the incredible things that God is doing and the ways in which He is working in this impactful organization, mission, and ministry itself.
Absolutely. Pure Desire was started by Dr. Ted Roberts, who wrote the book Pure Desire in the late 1990s. Some of your listeners might be familiar with that. At the time, it was one of the only books out there for Christian men, along with Every Man's Battle. And it was just a ministry of the local church. But as God continued to use it to change lives and others were hearing about it, Ted felt called to make it an independent nonprofit. And so that was in 2007. that he took it from the church to take it to all churches. And that really remains the heartbeat of our ministry, is we want to help men and women in the church who are battling with all kinds of sexual brokenness find that freedom and lasting freedom in Christ is possible. And it's rooted in community, in small groups that are happening at a local church level. And so we have over 1,200 churches around the country that are running some kind of Pure Desire group, as well as we run online groups, because we know that many people, you know, 1,200 churches sounds wonderful until you plot that on a map of the U.S. and realize, oh, there's no churches within a five-hour radius for some people. And so we have about 150 online groups that launch every year so that people from all over the world can find a safe, confidential place to walk through a very intentional healing process that provides accountability, yes, but far more than accountability. You're doing a deep dive into your whole story and into everything driving your behavior. And we have found that really creates the lasting freedom. So a groups-based ministry, and then on the other side, we have about 15 counselors that work on our team and provide pastoral counseling through secure video for people all over the world. And so that's really the two dynamics of our ministry, the groups and the counseling, and then all of the resources that are needed for those two environments.
I tell you what, Nick, God is doing something special in and throughout Pure Desire. And I think we need ministries like this for such a time as this, because as many have recognized and really identified, we're living in a porndemic that has spread rapidly throughout our culture, our country, and our society, and really our world today. Came across some stats recently that have recently said that a projected over 30 million Americans struggle with problematic sexual behavior, if not addiction. Another stat revealed that over 10 million youth and adolescents regularly view pornography online. Those are just rough estimates at the end of the day, though, Nick. We know that based on the trends we're seeing in the mental health field, that's where I work as a licensed professional counselor, looking at these trends and these statistics, those things are escalating far beyond those already significant stats that I just rattled off right there. But in knowing that, you being on the front lines, you working with couples, you working with individuals that are struggling with this sexual brokenness and the sexual sin space, what are you seeing? Really, what are you hearing? And why do you think in this day and age, things have really escalated to levels that we've never quite seen before?
Well, I'll add to your research and stats, Zach, that we just released some brand new data with the Barna Group and found that within the church, among practicing Christians, 54% would say they're viewing pornography at least occasionally. So that equates to 75% of men, but also 40% of women in the church are saying, to some degree, this is an issue in my life. And it's the first time I'm aware of that a majority, so over half of practicing Christians, would say this is a problem in their life. And I don't think it's because they don't know the truth, or we aren't preaching the gospel, or the Bible isn't relevant and real. All of those things are true, but I think what we've missed is how deeply this behavior runs in our life. That the behavior, acting out in a sexually compulsive way, is just the tip of the iceberg that we can see above the waterline. But driving this behavior is all kinds of patterns in our life, ways that we have learned to cope with pain or woundedness from our past, and the lies that have been created from those past wounds about our value, worth, and identity. And so pornography, much like many other behaviors or addictions in our world, have actually become the pseudo-solution to those deeper problems of how do I cope with pain and unwanted feelings and these lies that I believe about trying to be good enough. Well, pornography answers that in an artificial way for a moment. And yet when it comes to dealing with pornography in most churches or recovery programs, it's just a behavior management system. You know, don't do it. It's wrong. Have accountability and turn away. And yet if we're not able to address the deeper systems and patterns that have been driving this problem for many people for decades, the likelihood of lasting change is going to be very, very slim. And so that's why our approach, I think, is so revolutionary, because it addresses the deeper stuff. It sees pornography as the symptom of those deeper problems. And yes, a sinful symptom and a painful behavior and something we need to change, but we want to create lasting change by addressing those belief systems, by healing the wounds, by helping someone see the pattern that has led them into this behavior over and over. And much of that starts, the last thing I'll say about it, Zach, is that in so many churches, we just don't know how to talk about this topic. And in many families, the only talk we have is that sex is for marriage, and so save it for that. And then everything else is like, go figure it out on your own. And really step one in so many churches or homes, would be simply to create that environment where it is safe to talk about this and to raise our hand and say, I need help in this area. And that if we raise our hand, that doesn't mean we're a weaker Christian or a lesser person, but there's a freedom there. There's a grace to say, even in this area, God and God's people care about this topic and I can be helped here. Because until we do that, people are going to continue to stay in isolation and in silence and secrecy. And those are the very things that drive this behavior. And so we have to address those patterns of isolation and secrecy. And thank God the church is the place to do that. We just need to learn some better patterns and systems to make it happen.
Amen, Nick. You know, again, working in this space, something that you just touched on is that addiction is always a secondary issue, right? There's always something underlying those things. So getting to the root, getting to the heart, getting to the soul, right? That's the most important thing. And that's what I love what you guys are doing at Pure Desire Ministry. I remember Jim Kress, he does a lot of work with us here at AACC. We love him to death, but a certified sex addiction therapist, on top of that, a licensed professional counselor. And I remember years ago, he told me that he believes that pornography and sexual addiction or sexual sin are almost like the sin of choice or the offense of choice within the church at large. Why? Because he gave all of these different A's. The first one is that it's affordable, right? It's free of charge. It's accessible. It's everywhere. But also it allows you to remain anonymous. Like you said, that sense of hiddenness. We'll get to this sense of shame. But something I know, Nick, just in reading your story and hearing you speak a couple of times, is that this is very near and dear. It's personal to you, why you do what you do today. So Nick, I kind of want to pass you off the mic and I want to allow you the opportunity to share a little bit about your story and your testimony and how you've really been able to transition from bondage to a breakthrough.
I appreciate that, Zach, because it is my story. And I think my story has elements that are common to so many, particularly for Christian men and women, the stories that we grew up in. I have wonderful godly parents. My dad is a pastor for 50 years, a very consistent godly man. And yet in our home, we did not talk about sexual things or sexuality. And so when I was exposed to some sexual content at a friend's house, I immediately felt two things. I felt the pull that there's something interesting here. I felt curious. I felt desire that I'd never felt before. But I also felt this push of this is wrong. I shouldn't be seeing it. And my parents would be so angry if they knew this was happening. And so in a desire not to lose a friendship or be forbidden from going to his house, I didn't tell them. And that created this pattern in my life that I have found is so common for Christian men and women. Is this from the get-go was a secretive and shameful behavior in my life. Secretive in that I couldn't tell people because they'd be angry, and shameful in that I didn't understand why I was so drawn to something, so curious about something that I believed to be wrong. And that was the pattern that continued to follow me into my teenage years and into college where I'm 46 years old, so the internet was kind of becoming a thing in my late teen and early adulthood years. And finding that pornography was available for free at the touch of a button became a temptation that was irresistible for me at times. And I began a binge purge struggle with pornography where I could go several months and do great. And okay, I've figured this out. Last time was the last time. And then something would occur or I'd have access that I didn't expect. And I would find myself stumbling yet again. And then I'd go through the binge of, God, I'm so sorry. Never again. I never kept this secret life where I was trying to manage both. It was always the last time. And so when I met my wife to be, we had been encouraged to be honest before marriage, and I shared my history with pornography, and she was very forgiving and understanding, but also asked me, why don't you just promise me you never do these things again? And I remember saying to her, I want to make you that promise. But I feel like I've made that promise to God, myself, and others in the past, and it keeps coming back. So I'm going to try really hard in our marriage, but I don't know if I can make you that promise. And what I find so fascinating as I look back is that as a 21-year-old who was sincere in my faith, loved Jesus, and loved this woman I was pledging my life to with all my heart, that I was acknowledging there was a behavior in my life I didn't know how to successfully manage. I was using the language of addiction without ever thinking of it as that. And so we entered into 10 years of marriage where this was the pattern. Every 6 months or so, I would have to come back and say, I'm so sorry it's happened again, but it's not about you. It's not because of our marriage or our sexuality. It's this thing in my life. I'm trying really hard. And this was the last time. Well, after 10 years of that, my wife was done. She'd heard it was the last time too many times, and it never was. She said, Nick, it's not that I hate you, but it's that I hate the way this makes me feel. And because I don't know if it's ever going to change, I don't know if I can stay around for that much pain. And God really used that in my life. That became a wake-up call because I had so minimized and rationalized the behavior so that I could live with myself that I had really thought, oh, she just doesn't understand. If she understood, she wouldn't be so hurt by it. But I think that was the moment I realized I was the one that didn't understand, that I didn't understand how much pain I was causing and how I was allowing this to continue because I really didn't know what else to do. Well, it was in that season where our marriage really was at a breaking point that we discovered Pure Desire Ministries. At a conference for pastors in my denomination, Dr. Ted Roberts spoke, and our leadership said, if you're a pastor who struggles, but it doesn't involve other people, so nothing physical, and it doesn't involve illegal content, we want to work with you to stay in ministry. We want to get you the counseling and help that you need, and we want to pay for a good chunk of the process. And it was like they were rolling out the red carpet just for me and for my wife and the story that we were in. And you would think I would have been running down the aisle, you know, saying, sign me up. You know, I'd have been top at the list. But I wasn't. I was so stuck in that shame and isolation and minimizing it that I thought, boy, I hope the pastors in this room who are really struggling are listening because this sounds like a great opportunity for them. You know, I was ready to push it away. And I found that is so often the nature of our struggle that we think the people who really need help is someone who's a step beyond wherever we are. And then if we take that step, we just keep moving the line further and further down the field because it's difficult to deal with. But by God's grace, I wasn't at that conference alone. My wife was sitting next to me and she's elbowing me saying, you're going to go talk to them, right? You're going to go talk to them, right? And I said, well, I guess I am now because I did want to save my marriage. I wanted to heal the pain I was causing. And so really at my wife's encouragement, we went and met with Pure Desire. And I think for the first time, I sat with someone that wasn't just trying to help me manage my sin or stop a behavior, but said, Nick, we understand how this is a heart problem and a brain problem. And we're going to help walk you through a process of healing through a very biblical foundation, but maybe understanding some things you've never seen before. And for the first time in my life, I was able to unpack my whole story and to see how things from childhood, not just sexual things, but things about relationships and expectations I felt that were put on me to always be the best and perform well, were actually all wrapped into my struggle with pornography. And then we both got into groups, myself for the people who struggled, my wife for spouses who were betrayed. And we walked a healing journey that was nothing short of transformational because it changed everything, not only my behavior, but the way we did our relationship, the way I thought of myself and of the world. And it really created significant change in just so many areas. And it was from there that we ended up sharing our healing story with our church. In a moment of real honesty, I stood up front and as I was preaching on Romans chapter 7, we talk about Paul, the apostle saying, why do I do what I don't want to do? I said, I think I can bring some unique perspective to this today because for 15 years, I have struggled with an addiction to pornography. And you could have heard a pin drop in our church that morning as we got to that level of honesty. I asked for their forgiveness, and then I asked for their help, my church, to help us start a ministry for men and women who struggled with this same problem. And what happened in that moment is it really became like an opening of the floodgates. Because when the senior pastor can be real about his journey, it makes it okay for everyone else. And we watched over the next 5 years, men and women continue to come forward, go through this group experience, and find significant levels of transformation and change. And God used our story to just multiply healing in our church community. And that's what ultimately led to me becoming involved with Pure Desire as the executive director and getting to use my story both as an individual and then as a pastor to say, healing is possible. God can do an incredible work in this area, but we have to be willing to face our story and we have to be willing to get really honest with one another. But it's just been life-giving to watch that our story continue to be multiplied over and over and get to use what we're so passionate about to help other people find that same freedom.
Nick, first and foremost, thank you so much just for your vulnerability and sharing your story. It is so impactful to see the way that God is now using what was once really a lot of pain in your life and now using it truly for His greatest purpose in and throughout your life. And with humility, by taking responsibility and with great courage, bringing these things to the pulpit and sharing them with vulnerability. I mean, it's been a rough summer. We know that. Things at Oak Fellowship, things at Gateway, right? That's a lot of different things that have happened. But what was it about you, Nick, that really you felt pressing from the Lord to say, I need to share this with the people that I have been shepherding throughout this journey?
Well, if I'm honest, Zach, I don't know if it was a lot about me, because as I shared, I was very resistant. I thought, hey, I've kind of got this managed. I was so stuck in my way of seeing the world that I didn't realize how much help I needed. But God had done two things. One, he'd given me a wife who has continued to stay faithful and said, I want to see change. You know, she was able to say, I love you, and this can't keep happening. But God had also put us in a church community where there had been a level of grace that had already been extended to me. I'd been the associate pastor there at the age of 22, and in that season had opened up about my struggles with pornography and had found an elder board that was forgiving, that wanted to stand with me, but also really didn't know a pathway to freedom. And so when it came to this healing journey, I at least had an inkling that I might get support rather than be rejected and fired. And I think that's such a crucial element, because honestly, most pastors are not given permission to be human beings. We have an expectation that if you've been trained in Bible and theology and preaching and exhortation, like, you're good to go, and everything else is probably matured along with it. But we don't really ask the right questions to determine what's the level of growth and maturity in your personal life, and particularly in your sexuality. So then we get these titles like pastor or reverend or leader. And what happens is we push down all that secret stuff that could disqualify us. We feel like it's not safe to bring up here, and yet it's not going to go away when we do that. In fact, it usually gets worse. And so I look at my story and just, I'm so grateful that God put me in a place where there was an opportunity to say, first and foremost, I am a man who's in need of help, and put us in the right place to get that help at the right time, because I easily could have become another one of those stories to just think, I'll keep it under control, it won't go too far, and then to get caught up in something that would have derailed a career and a marriage and a ministry. And I think that's a message that I'm trying to say to churches and organizations and denominations, to ask the question, why do we keep waiting for the next story to hit the headlines?
Man, Nick, I hate to say this, but we are fighting the time, my friend. But I want to continue this conversation for a day two if you would be willing to join me. Is that okay with you, my friend?
I would love to do that. Let's do it.
I love that. Don't give up. This isn't just about behavior modification. This is spiritual transformation. And you don't have to, and you were not made to do this fight or this life alone. Nick Stumbo, my friend, thank you so much for joining us. On behalf of my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, myself, and all of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we appreciate you and all that God is doing in and through you and in and through Pure Desire Ministry. Thank you again for your time today.
Amen. Thank you, Zach, and thank you for being willing to discuss this topic and shine a light on it, because that's where healing begins.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in. Give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a place of hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a place of hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A place of hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.